We need whichever PowerPoint it is, I can't remember. That's the one. There we go. Oh, no. Is it the other one? I don't know if I've got my... Oh, maybe I haven't got my... I thought I'd put my picture of my mum in. I'm going to go and get it anyway. Is it? No. No, well, that wasn't my mum. This is a picture of my mum. That's why I know, because he didn't look like mum. So, this is my mum. Her special impact on my faith journey is... this is my mum, Joyce. I always say, this is my mum. This is Joyce. She's no longer with us, unfortunately. She passed a few years back, but she had a really special impact on my faith journey growing up because she shared her faith with me. And she fulfilled the promises she made with my father at my dedication. She was a great encourager. And one thing that she's really taught me was about the importance of prayer. My life was absolutely underpinned by the prayers that she prayed for me day after day after day. And I was very blessed. There she is. There we go, Mum. I was very, very blessed that I've got some of her prayer diaries, just as a witness to the prayer, passion for prayer that she had. And it even never diminished, even though she had dementia in her final years. I was thrilled to find out from the church that she was a lifelong member of, that they used to pick her up from care and take her to church each week. And when she arrived at church, she would sing, she would pray, she would quote scripture. She was at home in that space, and I am so blessed for that and for her love for me. So a few other folk are going to come and share about their inspirational women. And you had a little preview before. So it should be, let's see who's coming up next. Can we click on, because it's, beep. There we go. Will, do you want to come and share? So if you want to be over there, yeah. So tell us who this lovely lady is.
Rosa knows Sam, because she'd have told me, get it right. I'm going to talk about her. So basically, that's my late wife, Sally. Put in context, we were married in 1972, at the ripe old ages of 22. We had children between 1978 and 1980, and sadly, she passed away in 1988, age 38. So that's the context of Sally.
Yeah.
And Ali said, about the impact.
Yeah, so what special impact did she have on your faith journey?
Yeah, well, first of all, if you imagine, 22-year-old, 1 year out of university, married, and then I go through a process of having to stand up by myself, be a proper man, proper adult, and then go and have children. It's a huge change. But what I witnessed about Sally, and it's something that's been with me the whole time, was a great faith and belief. She honestly said to me one day that she'd never been alone in her life. She'd always felt God close to her. And this came out in her in the way that she had this inner quiet and tranquility about her, and a great gift of being able to love other people, me occasionally if I behave myself. And that's one thing that's actually stuck with me all my life. And the thing was, I actually witnessed it. She didn't preach it, she didn't do it, but she lived it. And she lived it with the children, and she lived it with everybody else.
So that's what stuck with you?
It stuck with me. And the main thing that stuck with me from that, and it stuck with me all my life, was that God is always with you. And the way to do that is to open your mind and just see him in the everyday things. Not the big things, not like when she passed away or when we got married, not those huge days, but every day. Those little things that go along, you just have to recognise them. And the other thing she said was, if you go through a day and you haven't noticed, a good chat with God is always a good way to happen. Mm-hmm. And those things have always stayed with me.
Thank you. Thank you, Will. So who's next? Let's see whose photo is coming up next. Laura. So who is this lady?
So I feel a bit like, would I lie to you? This is my friend Joan. So Joan first met me when I was 13, and I was very shy. I know you won't believe that, but I was dreadfully shy, and she just looked after me from day one.
Yeah, so what special impact did she have on your faith journey?
I think for me the biggest thing was I went on youth camp, and Joan was leading the Bible story each night, and we got to Daniel 3, and I've told you this many, many times, the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and this trust that they had in the God who could save them. But even if he didn't, they were still going to trust him. And that just hit me. And I remember going to Joan afterwards and saying, I want to be a Christian. I want to have that trust in this God that they had. And she always tells me that she didn't know how much I understood because I had no background in church. She says, I just kept saying, I want to be a Christian. Just want to be a Christian. And so in my mind, Joan is my spiritual mother. She gave birth to me, in a sense. She helped me to be rebirthed at that point.
So is there something she's taught you that stuck with you?
Yeah, I always wanted to be like Joan. Growing up, I said to God, she was a missionary in Africa and did all sorts of things. She gave me loads of wisdom that I've told her more recently about, and she can't remember saying it. But that's a great thing when we can give away that wisdom. So she always inspired me to be like Joan, to love God, to pray continually, to seek him always.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Okay, and now we have Eva. So who's this lady?
This is Auntie Janet. She's not actually my auntie, she's my mum's cousin, and she's also my godmother.
And what special impact has she had on your faith journey over the years?
So I guess I was fortunate that I grew up in a family that was very loving and very supportive and very stable. And I think both of my parents do have faith, but they weren't confident in talking about that faith or sharing it with me particularly. Auntie Janet was the person who, I guess, although I didn't see her very often, I suppose our kind of relationship has always been a little bit at a distance. She is the one who has taken it upon herself to just drop little nuggets to lead me towards God. She used to, when my birthday came around, she would sort of send presents that were just helped to sort of inspire me along my journey. She would send me Christian paperback, you know, novels, kids' novels. At the age of six and a bit, I declared to my mother that I wanted a Bible, and she said, leave it with me. And then on my seventh birthday, Auntie Janet provided me with a Good News Bible, which I didn't read for probably a number of years. I kind of looked at the pictures a bit, but then sort of in my early teens, I'd read the Good News Bible. No, I'd read the New Testament through having been given one at school. And I thought, oh, I'd better read the Old Testament then. And there was this Bible on the shelf that was available for me to just read through. So that was a very inspiring thing. She also bought me, used to buy me things that came from the Tradecraft store, which was, I think it was called Tradecraft in those days, which was kind of my first exposure to the idea of kind of there being some kind of way that we in this country could do something to help people in the developing world lift themselves out of poverty.
And did she leave you with one thing that perhaps she's taught you?
I think two. I think the one thing about, so those of you who have known me for a number of years will know that that is still something that is really important to me, the idea of kind of fair trade and supporting people to, you know, support themselves, not stacking the cards against them so that they can lift themselves out of poverty. So that was something that she sort of started me thinking about initially. But I think really for me it was the idea that the understanding that prayer really makes a difference. This is a recurring theme, isn't there, about prayer. She prayed for me regularly, and I know she still prays for me and my family. And I think that is the only way that I can account for the fact that from such an early age, I just had a hunger for God. That, you know, it wasn't because I'd had particular exposure to faith or anything growing up, but it was, I can only account for that by knowing that it was because she was praying for me. So I guess prayer works.
Yeah, guess prayer works. Prayer works. Thank you. So we'll hear from a few more folk in a moment, but we're going to take a pause and we're going to have a song. While we do that, are there any notices?
I also knew that Sandra went to a Pentecostal church in Birmingham. And for me, I went to Catholic. I was brought up as a Catholic. So for me, it was conservative just as you should have it. And one day Sandra in London, you know, we've got married, we've got Jade, so we've had Jade. Jade's still a baby, and Sandra decides, because of this gym project, Jesus in Me, someone must have invited, I'm not sure how it worked, but Sandra must have invited Sandra to this gym project at a local church in London. And Sandra went along to it and liked it, came back and said to me that she wanted to try this, you know, would I go with her on a Sunday to this church? And I thought, Sunday, it's my day off. You know, I go to church at Christmas and Easter, you know, important times. So I thought, okay, I'll go. So I went to this church, and yeah, it was lively, very lively, and Pentecostal church. So it was very, very lively. And I took on, while there, I did at some point go to a Bible study, and I learned the basics of the gospel, the basics of the gospel. But I learned about the gospel of Jesus, and really that opened my eyes. But I was still very wary, because the environment was, everyone looked very confident. They were, you know, hands up, jumping about, and, you know, when the minister's talking, they'll also be talking and replying to what she's saying and saying amen. Or if she says, you know, like if you had said something like, and Jesus said, feed the 10,000, someone in the audience would probably say, yes, feed the 4,000, you know, and it's like, God, I wish they'd keep quiet and let the person talk, you know. So I was very narrow-minded. I didn't even know the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that, you know, if you've got to really let go, you know, let the Holy Spirit work in you, and, you know, and be yourself. And so, yeah, it was a journey. And
but because of that first invitation.
Yeah. So it was a journey. But Sandra, yeah, led me in that direction.
So
yeah.
She taught you one thing that stuck with you?
I tried to think of that question, and it really was more with verses, Bible verses. I know that when we were working, I'll open my sandwich, and I might find a verse, a piece of paper with my sandwich, and it's something for me to just, you know, reflect on. But also when I was having problems, Sandra always had she would give me a Bible verse for me to hang on to, and it's short enough for me to be able to look at it and just... Mm-hmm. Go over it and then understand what what God was telling me. So,
the importance
I think
of prayer,
she supported me there. Yeah.
The importance of prayer and the importance of scripture.
Pardon?
We're getting lists. We've got importance of prayer. Now we've got the importance of scripture. Yeah. Marvellous. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, let's see who's next. Okay. So who's this?
This is Joe.
Joe, and how do you know Joe?
I met Joe in 1994 in Gloucester. Give you context. Joe was the wife of Michael, and Michael was the vicar at the church I started to go to. I turned up in Gloucester looking for a church, found something that pointed me to this particular church, went along to see Michael, to chat about this church and things, and thinking, because I was moving to Gloucester in a few months, and Joe was there, made me a cup of tea, said welcome, and that was the beginning of my journey with Joe and Michael.
And what special impact has she had?
Joe and Michael were my Gloucester parents, and Joe was the vicar's wife, and you might have heard that said about myself. Sometimes I want to be the vicar's wife. And Joe just quietly gone supporting Michael. Well, it wasn't just supporting Michael, they were a team. They each had their roles. You know, Michael might have been out front a lot of the time, but Joe was there working alongside Michael. Joe as well was a volunteer at Redcliffe College, which some of you know became a very special place to us. Volunteer there for many, many years, And one of the things that Joe used to do was invite people back. The students, new students, would always be invited back for meals at that round with Jack, at the vicarage. And I think the thing that stuck with me and has influenced me the most, and I didn't realise it at the time, I don't think, was, as we said, this teamwork of hospitality. And it stuck with me ever since that if we can be remembered for anything, it's hospitality. We want it to be, well, not that we want to be remembered as that way, but it's this thing that hospitality is so important, that meeting over a meal or getting together over a coffee is how we share together. And if I can be a tenth of the person that Joe was, I'll be more than happy.
Someone else, you'll need to come and tell us who that is.
No, I was doing really well about not being emotional, but not now. First of all, I'm a bit naughty because I've snuck someone else in. Shh, sorry, Ali.
It's all right.
I brought an artifact with me. Now, it's a Girls Brigade mug. And I've got a Girls Brigade teddy, but I couldn't find it. Sorry, Jean. I just wanted to say that part of my faith journey was being in Girls Brigade. Absolutely fantastic. Fantastic opportunities, learning, fun. Getting lost in the Albert Hall, and I bet Adele can't say that, can she? Absolutely fabulous. We did that. The women, all of those women in Girls Brigade were very special, but this is, thank you, Jean. I'll leave it there. Right, now.
So, who is this lady?
So, this lady is Margaret, my mum, and this is actually a month before she died. And here we are having afternoon tea at our favourite hotel with our glasses of Prosecco. And lovely, really lovely. So, my mum was no saint. She was very ordinary, but she was very special in her faithfulness to God. Faithful in prayer, faithful in trusting God, and that's what I grew up with. So I grew up knowing who God was for my mum, and that taught me, and then I was able to make my own decisions about that. If she said, I will pray for you, she would pray for you. Sometimes I say it and I forget, but my mum, if she said she would have her list. She was such a quiet woman in her faith, but so strong. Absolutely amazingly strong. And we used to have a prayer that we said to each other every night, and I shall tell it you now. It was this. So when I went to bed, she would say, Lord, keep us safe this night, secure from all our fears. May angels guard us while we sleep, till morning light appears. And I don't know where she found it or got it from, but it was what we said when I was growing up. And the lovely thing I got to do was when I became, I guess, not her carer, that's not right. When our roles changed a bit, every night I would put her to bed and we would say this prayer. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely, you see, I'm not going to cry, it's all right. Yeah. It's a lovely round thing. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, I will still say that prayer sometimes, not every night, but it still has a special place in my heart. Now, what I learnt from my mum was that you're never too old to be useful in the Lord's house, in the Lord's kingdom. You're never too old to learn more. You never know it all. And she never lost her thirst for knowledge about God. She went to Bill and Jean's prayer group, house group, home group, whatever. It's still in her 90s. I mean, she's 91 and a half in this one. So it's still in like late 80s and 90s. She'd go to the house group and she would say, oh, we did have a good house group. And I've asked David for the notes. And she'd get the notes off David and she'd study them. Oh, it was interesting. And I learnt this and I learnt that. At 90, you are never too old to know more about God, to know more about his faithfulness, to know more about praying, and more about trusting.
Thank you. Amazing. Now you can see why I want to hear from everybody, but obviously we can't do that. But I got people to label their photos. If afterwards you go and have a look at these pictures and you spot someone, we want to know more about them, go and ask the person. Go and find them and have a chat with them about their special person. I'd also like to say I'd like to take a couple of shots of these to put these up on our social media. If you're not comfortable with your picture of your person being on that, then take it down before I take those photos.